Chapter 7. After this, Antiochus made a treaty of friendship with Ptolemy and gave him his daughter, Cleopatra, in marriage. And as her dowry, Antiochus yielded up to him Celesyria, Samaria, Judah, and Phoenice. And when the tribute was divided between the two sovereigns, all the chief men purchased the right to farm the taxes in their several provinces, and collecting the fixed sum, paid it to the royal sovereigns. Now at this time, the Samaritans were flourishing. They did much mischief to the Judeans by laying waste to their land and carrying off slaves. And this happened in the chief priesthood of Honiah. For after the death of Eleazar, his uncle, Manasseh, took the chief priesthood. And after he had departed this life, the office came to Honiah, who was the son of Simon, surnamed the Righteous. And this Simon was brother of Eleazar. This Honiah was insignificant and passionately fond of money. And for that reason, he did not pay the tax of 20 talents of silver, which his fathers had paid to the kings out of their own revenues. This roused the anger of King Ptolemy, and the king sent an envoy to Jerusalem to denounce Honiah for not paying his taxes, and threatened,
"If I do not receive them, I will parcel out your land and send my soldiers to settle on it."
Accordingly, when the Judeans heard the king's message, they were dismayed. But so sordid was Honiah's avarice that none of these threats made him ashamed. Now there was a certain Joseph who was still young in age, but because of his dignity and foresight, had a reputation for uprightness among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. His father was Tobiah, and his mother was a sister of the chief priest Honiah. And when his mother informed him of the envoy's arrival, for he himself happened to be sojourning in the village of Phicola, he went to the city of Jerusalem and reproved Honiah for not regarding the safety of his countrymen and for being willing instead to bring danger upon the nation by withholding the money. For Joseph reminded him,
"You have received authority over them and have been made high priest in order to provide safety for them."
Then he advised,
"But if you are so passionately fond of money, so that you can endure to see your country endangered and your countrymen suffer all sorts of things, go to the king and petition him to remit either the whole or a part of the money demanded."
However, Honiah answered, saying,
"I do not desire to hold office."
Then he said,
"I am ready to give up the high priesthood, if that were possible."
And he also said,
"I will not go to the king, because I am in no way concerned at all about these matters."
Joseph then asked him,
"Will you grant me permission to go as an envoy to Ptolemy on behalf of the nation?"
And when Honiah granted him permission, Joseph went up to the temple and called the multitude together in assembly. He exhorted them,
"Do not be disturbed or frightened because of the carelessness of my uncle Honiah."
Instead, he begged them,
"Be at peace and do not terrify yourselves with dark forebodings.
for he promised them,
I myself will go as an envoy to the king and persuade him that we are not doing any wrong.
And so, when the multitude heard this, they thanked Joseph. So he went down from the temple and treated Ptolemy's envoy with hospitality. He also presented him with valuable gifts and entertained him lavishly for many days. The envoy greatly admired his liberality and the dignity of his character. In this manner, the envoy encouraged Joseph and urged him to go into Egypt, and promised him that he would obtain from Ptolemy whatever he desired. Because of this, he became more eager to meet the king. Afterward, Joseph sent the envoy on ahead to the king, telling him that he himself would soon follow. And when the envoy arrived in Egypt, he reported to the king the arrogant behavior of Honiah and informed him of Joseph's excellence and that Joseph intended to come to him and ask that the sins of his people be excused, for he was their protector. Indeed, the envoy continued to use such extravagance of speech in praising the young man that he disposed both the king and his wife Cleopatra to have kindness towards Joseph even before his arrival. Now Joseph, after sending to his friends in Samaria and borrowing money from them, prepared the things necessary for his journey, garments, and cups, and beasts of burden, which amounted to about 20,000 drachmas. Then he went to Alexandria. But it happened at this time that all the chief men and magistrates of the cities of Syria and Phoenicia were coming up there to bid for their tax farming rights, which the king used to sell every year to the wealthiest men in each city. Therefore, when these men saw Joseph on the road, they ridiculed him for his poverty and bareness. But when he arrived at Alexandria, he heard that Ptolemy was in Memphis. So he went up there to meet with them there. Now the king was sitting in a chariot along with his wife and with his friend Athenion. This man was the very man who had been an envoy to Jerusalem and had been entertained by Joseph. Therefore, as soon as Athenion caught sight of him, he immediately introduced Joseph to the king, saying,
This is the man whom I described to you when I had returned from Jerusalem as being an excellent and liberal young man.
Therefore, Ptolemy took the initiative to greet him and even invited him to come up into his chariot. And when Joseph was seated, Ptolemy began to complain about the management of Honiah. Then Joseph answered him,
Forgive him on account of his age, for surely you are not unaware that old men and infants are exactly alike in their minds. But from us who are young men, you will obtain everything you desire and will have no cause to complain.
Being delighted with the charm and ready wit of the young man, Ptolemy began to have a still greater fondness for him, as though he were an old and tried friend. So much so that he bade him
take up residence in the palace and be a guest at my own table every day.
Accordingly, when the king arrived at Alexandria, and the chief men of Syria saw Joseph seated at his side, they were terribly offended by it. Now when the day came on which the tax farming rights in the cities were to be sold, bids were made by the chief men of dignity in the various provinces. The total sum of the taxes from Cilicia and from Phoenicia and Judah with Samaria came to 8,000 talents. At this time, Joseph came forward and slandered the bidders of having made an agreement to estimate the value of the taxes at too low a rate. And he promised,
I will give double that amount for them. I will send the king the entire property of those who have been remiss toward your house.
For this right was sold along with that of the farming taxes. The king was pleased to hear this offer, and because it was likely to increase his revenue, he said,
I will confirm the sale of the tax farming rights to Joseph.
But when the king asked him,
Do you also have any men to give surety for you?
Joseph answered very cleverly,
Yes, I will offer persons who are good and responsible and whom you will have no reason to distrust.
And when the king asked him,
Who are they?
He replied,
O king, I will offer you no other persons who will give surety for me than you yourself and your wife, each to guarantee the other's share.
At this, Ptolemy laughed and granted him the tax farming rights without any sureties. This act was a sore grief to those who had come into Egypt from the cities, for they considered themselves slighted. And so, each of them returned to their respective provinces in shame. Then, Joseph asked to have some assistance, in order that he might be able to use force against anyone in the cities who treated him with contempt. In this way, the king granted him 2,000 foot soldiers. And after borrowing 500 talents from the king's friends at Alexandria, he made haste back into Syria. And when Joseph arrived at Ashkelon, he demanded tribute from the people of that city. But they not only refused to pay anything, but even insulted him. Therefore, he arrested about 20 of their chief men and put them to death, and sent their property, which altogether was worth 1,000 talents, to the king, and informed him of what had happened. Ptolemy, who admired his mind and commended his actions, permitted him to do as he pleased. When the Syrians heard of this, they were struck with consternation. And having a terrible example of the consequences of disobedience in the execution of the men of Ashkelon, they opened their gates and willingly admitted Joseph and paid the tribute. And when the inhabitants of Beth Shan attempted to insult him and would not pay him the tribute which they had formerly paid without any dispute, he put to death their chief men as well and sent their property to the king. By this means, he collected great sums of money and made great profits from this tax farming. And he used his wealth in order to make the authority he now had permanent, thinking it prudent to preserve the source and foundation of his present good fortune by means of the wealth which he himself had acquired. And so, he surreptitiously sent many gifts to the king, and to Cleopatra, and to their friends, and to all those who were powerful at court, thereby purchasing their goodwill through these gifts.